For Theron, it wasn't hard to reach a decision. Rares and the other patrons had shifted their focus from him to other new arrivals, making it easy for him to get up and slip outside without attracting attention. In front of the club, he cast a quick glance to make sure nobody was watching, then casually wandered into the side alley and made for the warehouse built onto the back. He didn't need to see inside to picture the scene. Armed guards watching over unfortunate prisoners about to be auctioned off. There was a single Durasteel door at the back, a pair of blacked-out windows one story up. He dismissed the door. Taking the obvious entrance would give the guards time to react. It was unlikely the windows were alarmed or protected by a security field. The difficulty in getting to them was defense enough. He considered scaling the wall to get to the windows, but he'd be exposed if any of the guards wandered out into the back alley. Better to come at them from above, where he was less likely to get noticed. Theron wandered back out to the front of the club and merged with the flow of pedestrians wandering the square. He walked halfway down the block, past three buildings on the same side of the street, then paused at the entrance of a narrow back lane next to a three-story building. Judging from the signage, it was a combination pawn shop and dance hall. He checked to see if anyone was watching. The three hoodlums on swoop bikes he'd seen earlier streaked overhead again, coming in so low the pedestrians had to duck to avoid getting clipped. They whooped and yelled before climbing safely out of reach and accelerating into the distance. Theron took advantage of the distraction and ducked into the alley, sauntering to the back of the building. He pulled his climbing gloves from where they had been tucked in at the rear of his belt, tugged them over his hands, flexed his fingers. He tested the grip on the side of the building. A million needle-like nanofibers woven into the fabric of the gloves caught on the invisible imperfections of the seemingly smooth surface, giving him purchase. Moving with the simian dexterity of a Kashyyyk tack, he scampered up the side of the pawn shop's exterior wall and onto the roof. He didn't pause to catch his breath, taking three quick steps and leaping across the narrow alley separating the pawn shop from the two-story building beside it. He landed softly, tucking into a roll to absorb the impact. The alley before the next building over was slightly wider, and he once again ran across the roof and jumped across without any hesitation. On the rooftop of the building adjacent to Morbo's club, he paused and contemplated the nearly 10-meter gap between them.
"You've made longer jumps before, and if you fall, you've survived worse." Gathering himself, he sprinted toward the edge.
Half a step before he jumped, the three joyriding teens whizzed down the alley in front of him on their swoops, unaware Theron was leaping across the rooftops just above them. Distracted, Theron stumbled, his boot slipping on the uneven surface of the roof as he planted his foot for his final leap. His body's muscle memory reacted instinctively to the sudden loss of balance and momentum by throwing itself forward to offset its shifting center of gravity. Theron was still able to push off the ledge. Halfway across the gap, he realized he wasn't going to make it. He threw his left arm out in a desperate attempt to snag the ledge. The fingertips of his climbing glove grazed against the surface, the nanofibers latching onto the permacrete half a meter below the roof. His plunge came to an abrupt and jarring halt, nearly wrenching his left shoulder from its socket, and his body twisted so hard he slammed into the building. He grunted in pain as the wind got knocked from his lungs. Supported by his single aching limb, he dangled in the breeze and struggled to catch his breath. After several seconds, Theron had recovered enough to reach up and slap his right palm against the building, allowing his other arm to bear some of his weight. Ignoring the protest of his left shoulder socket, he hauled himself up and over the ledge and lay on his stomach atop the roof of Morbo's club. Rising to his feet, he tested his shoulder with a quick range of motions. The pain made him grit his teeth, but nothing seemed seriously damaged.